Good morning, beloved. It's such a great privilege for me to greet you with Jesus' joy and to appreciate today. This is the Lord's Day. It's a holy convocation. It's a time where we gather our families together and pay special attention to the Word of God, because the Word is God. The Word has life. The Word has power. The Word is able to change your day. The Word is able to give you great favor. The Word is alive. The Word can adjust you. The Word can even convict you. And the Word is like a bright light that can reveal those things that need to be revealed, so that you could address them, get rid of them in Jesus' name. So we are so grateful today that we have the privilege of gathering around the Word of God. But before I do that, I just want to thank God for each one of you, for the way you've conducted yourself during this lockdown, and for the way you have been responsible. For those that have been affected by the virus, yes, we are happy to report that all of them are recovering well, and the Lord is with us. If the Lord is with us, who can be against us, or what can be against us? So we are so privileged today to have the Lord with us. A few weeks, was it last week, I shared on spiritual covering, and I shared on how important for us to have a covering. And I said in that teaching that the covering is Christ, and He then nominates people under Him to carry this covering, to mentor those that are under Him. All of us are in His family. All of us are the sheep of His pasture. All of us are blood washed and are part of the body of Jesus Christ. He is the head, and we are the body. So we thank God this morning that it is such a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be part of the family of God, to know that we have God on our side as our Father, that we also have brothers and sisters around us to help us, to befriend us, to invest their time into us, to advise us, even just to be friendly with us. Today I want to share on a topic called spiritual authority. Spiritual authority. We're still speaking on the Father-Son dyad, but we are covering various aspects of this whole economy of Father and Son, which is scriptural, which is our Christology, which is present in the heart of the Father. It is for the very reason that Jesus Christ came, not to conquer Satan, but to restore us back to our Father. And He died on the cross to do that. So the family of God is of critical importance during this end time. And this is the message. In fact, the Father-Son wineskin is the kingdom of God. It's to do with the government of God, the structures of God that He has implemented or laid down for us to follow. With regard to spiritual authority, I want to cover a few aspects. Maybe it'll take us a few weeks, but today I just want to lay a foundation or an introduction to the subject of spiritual authority. Beloved, we can make great sacrifices in our lives. We can serve for long hours. We can labor without pay, give up our sleep, seek ways to reach more people. In fact, in ministry, the list goes on and is endless. However, being busy and caught up in all the sacrificing, we could easily assume that all our efforts will please God. In all of this activity, our core motive could still be deceptively fueled by self-will. Listen, clever ideas may not necessarily impress God. As an absolute principle, please note, that God views and assesses the heart. You read that in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Even the prophet Samuel was deceived. He thought that Eliab, which David's elder brother, would be the king over Israel as the next king. But God had to stop him and say, Samuel, you messed up. It's not someone who has a good physique, who's tall and has muscles or has a big body that we are going to anoint as the next king. My choice is not your choice. I look at the heart, a heart that hungers and thirsts after me. I want those next to me. I want those to represent me. So even Samuel made a mistake. It's not about quantity, beloved, but about quality in the whole economy of God. I mentioned this before. God is more interested in you becoming than you doing. You know, you can live a reckless life and still do all the things. You can come to church, live a reckless life. You can play music, live a reckless life. You can be an usher and live a reckless life. You can visit someone in hospital, just pray with them and live a reckless life. You can speak in tongues and live a reckless life. God's not interested in all of that. He wants you to be a true son of God internally and externally before engaging in working for him. God is pleased with submission that leads to true obedience. This means a believer must be able to submit to God's authority. Now listen, there are many people that come to church, but they are not submitting to God's authority. But a true son of God has to submit to God's authority, whether it's direct to God or delegated to a servant of God like me. Then the believer must create a love and a passion for obedience to God's authority. God does not only want your outward obedience, no, but he wants a broken and a contrite heart, one that thirsts and hunger for the will of God. How many of us pray this every single day? Lord, not my will, but your will be done. In other words, I want to fall under your authority. What you want prevails. What I want must die off. Your will be done. And this is what David prayed in Psalm 51, 16 and 17. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So what God is looking for is a broken and a contrite heart, a broken spirit. Watchman Nee said the following: before a man subjects himself to God's delegated authority, in our context, it will be Mama Val and myself, he must first meet God's inherent authority. Our entire relationship with God is regulated by whether we have met authority. If we have, then we shall encounter authority everywhere. And being thus restrained by God, we can begin to be used by him. In us first satisfying the standard of his inherent authority, as mentioned by Watchman Nee, we must be willing to bring ourselves under his governmental structure and embrace his righteousness. In this regard, I looked at the book of 1 John as my personal meditation, and I discovered an interesting pathway in the Spirit that ministered to me as follows. Now, I looked at 1 John 1:6, 1 John 2:6, 1 John 3:6, 1 John 4:6, and 1 John 5:6. And I saw in each of these verses, verse 6 in chapter 1, verse 6 in chapter 2, right up to verse 6 in chapter 5, there are interesting and great gems or nuggets that we could apply in our lives to help us fall directly under God's authority. Listen, beloved, when we fall under God's authority, we are saying to God, we accept your will, we accept what you want, we will not rebel against you, we will not be lawless, we will follow your rules, we'll follow your laws, we'll follow your precepts, we'll follow your commandments, we'll bring ourselves under your guidance and your authority. That's basically what we mean by spiritual authority. Let's turn to 1 John 1:6. The Bible tells us, if we say, now, if we say, God is not saying, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness or we walk in sin, we lie and we do not practice the truth. The word of God is truth. Therefore, to remain connected to him and live off him, then you must be a truth practitioner. No compromise, no lukewarmness, no indulgence in sin anymore. All the ways of a man, listen to me, all the ways of a man are in full view of the Lord. So you can't just say, I am in fellowship with God, I am connected with God. The fruit of your walk or the proof of your walk will tell us whether you're in fellowship with him. So if you're in fellowship with him, you will not walk in sin. You will walk in the light. You will walk in total transparency. You will walk in the truth. Your life will be an open book. Truth is transparent. There's nothing to hide. You can read about this in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible tells us also that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And you know what? Psalm 139 tells us he records more thoughts in a day about each one of us than the sand on an ocean. Yes, on the ocean shore. He registers so many thoughts. He knows everything about all of us. That's why he's known as Jehovah the Great El Shaddai. He is omniscient. He knows all things. And there's a frightening verse in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And when I started to meditate upon this verse, I realized that there's an urgency to speak into your lives, beloved, as God's representative. I rather please God than please some of you who do not want me to talk about the things that are hindering you, retarding you, slowing you down, and even deceiving you. It is my job description. It's part of my job to warn you, to correct you, to show you the right path so that you don't be misled by the devil, who is the father of lies. The devil, he's a master of deception. Now listen and trust me, because I am a servant of God and God has called me to talk into your lives. This verse is frightening, beloved, but I want to bring it to you. It's found in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. And I'm reading from the Amplified. But as for the cowards and unbelieving and abominable, who are these? Who are these people? These people who are devoid of character and personal integrity. These are the people who practice immorality. These are the people that tolerate immorality. They are called cowards, unbelieving, and abominable. I'm praying to God today that each one of us will have a clean slate as far as personal integrity is concerned. Every one of you must have a clean slate as far as your personal integrity is concerned. In what you do, in what you speak, in what you even think, it must be God approved. Anything else is dangerous, beloved. As far as immorality is concerned, do not practice immorality. Be faithful to the Lord. If you are single, do not be intimate with the opposite sex. If you are married, be faithful to your own spouse. I'm saying that today as a servant of God and as the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Keep your lives clean. Uphold God's standard of morality. Besides the cowards and unbelieving and abominable, murderers are being addressed. Sorcerers are being addressed. Those that indulge in intoxicating drugs. Listen, you are known as a sorcerer. God is saying to you, stop those intoxicating drugs today, because they are harmful and they infringe on your life that belongs to God. Next, idolaters. Next, occultists. Who are occultists? They practice and they teach false religions. And who else? And all the liars who knowingly deceive and they twist the truth. Their part will be in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstones, which is the second death. Let's just ponder upon that today. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8 in the Amplified. I want you to meditate upon this verse. If you fall in any of these categories as cowards, as unbelieving, as abominable, as those that practice immorality, as murderers, as sorcerers that take intoxicating drugs, as idolaters that worship anything else, some worship their cars, worship their houses, worship their jobs, worship their earthly bosses, worship their wives. If you worship anyone else besides God, you are an idolater. What about occultists practicing false religions? And all the liars, not white liars, not black liars, not brown liars, but all liars who knowingly deceive and twist the truth, their part will be in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstones, which is the second death. If you know that you are messing up your life by two-timing God, then you can pray with me today. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Right now, if you feel that you are one who is guilty of any of these, I want you to fall on down on your knees and cry before God in your living room and say after me, verse 23 and 24 of Psalm 39. Oh my God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties by living a dual life, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me now in the way everlasting. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. The Bible says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk and conduct himself just as Christ walked and conducted himself. Let me paraphrase this whole thing. If you say that you abide in God, if I ask you a question right now, are you abiding in God? And if you told me yes, then I'm going to check your walk and conduct. If you're abiding in him, you cannot walk and conduct yourself as a son of disobedience or a son of Satan or a son of a rebel. No, when you abide in him, you walk and you conduct yourself in every part of your life just as he walked and conducted himself. In other words, when you abide in him, he is the one who directs you. He is the one that nourishes you. He is the one that leads you. He is the one who provides life to you. I would like to draw your attention to John 15, the parable of the true vine. Christ is the vine and we are the branches. To bear fruit, you and I must abide in the vine. You and I as branches must abide in the vine. If we do not abide in him, then we will not bear fruit, and thus we will wither, and then we will be fit to be thrown into the fire. As one called by God, as a servant of God, I, Ivan, I must abide in Christ in order to effectively lead you, the family of GMDS. I am more now than ever before conscientizing myself in this regard. I keep checking on myself if I am abiding in Christ. There are times that I mess up. There are times that I'm not aware. I have blind spots. And I thank God for Val. She's always checking on me and bringing the stuff to me so that I could look intently into my life and put right. There are things that I'm still working on. There are things that I've worked on, the things that I am working on, and things that I must work on urgently before the coming of Jesus Christ. If my walk and conduct is just like ease, then I am blessed. But if I come short of this due to my recklessness, then judgment will be severe upon me. You can make your own list of your walk and conduct tonight. Tonight, when you get to bed, and try and match it to the conduct of Christ. Take a piece of paper and just write it down plainly. Just be honest with yourself. Look intently. If you're messing around in your life, put it down. If you are engaged in any type of irregular behavior, sinful behavior, write it down. If you are doing something that is not in line with the conduct of Jesus Christ, put it down. Because it's urgent that you do that, beloved. We are living in dangerous times. We are living in uncertain times. We're living in times where hell has unleashed its demonic force, the most wicked demonic force upon the face of the earth. So we got to be always aware of where we are, how we conduct ourselves. So I'd love you to do this exercise. Try and find the disparities. Address them with true repentance and restitution. This sermon, these verses were given to me by the Holy Spirit, and it ministered to me, and it's ministering to me right now. This is not the ideal teaching on spiritual authority. Yes, we'll get to that. But I believe strongly that these points from 1 John are so essential in you becoming before you doing. Let's go to 1 John 3:6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. If you abide in him, there's no way you can sin in that environment, the secret place. There's no way you can sin when you are covered by Christ, when you are in him. If you are abiding in him, you are connected to him, there's no way you could sin. So if you are sinning, it means you have not seen him and you have not known him. You have no revelation of who he is. Your life is empty. You are disconnected. You are dry. You are withered. And of course, lawless. From this verse, I conclude that if I abide in him, I will not be lawless, as lawlessness is a sin. I will not be rebellious, as rebellion is as witchcraft. I will not be disobedient, as disobedience is sin. I cannot be bewitched. I cannot be cursed. I cannot fail. I will not be a victim of deception because I abide in him. But when I don't abide in him, I can be lawless, disobedient, rebellious, cursed, failure, a victim of deception. I can be easily bewitched. It's because I do not abide in him. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. I want you to turn with me to that passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. Let's read together. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom to the Ephesian church. He's praying for the Ephesian church. You know what he's praying? He's praying for them to receive spiritual wisdom. So let's read these few scriptures and see some stuff in his prayer. I've raised some points and I want to just list them from this passage of scripture. It will be useful for you and I. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is the prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, far above all power and might, far above all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So who is the head of all things in the church? Christ is. Whose authority is over the church? Christ's authority. Where are we positioned? Under his feet. And our authority is exercised when we are under his feet. All things are under his feet, which is his, the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's look at some important points from Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. And let's see how we can see him and know him. And when we see him and know him, that means that we are not sinning, that we are under the blood of Jesus, that we are washed, that we are connected to him, that we are abiding in him. Firstly, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is a deep, personal, and intimate insight in the true knowledge of him. For we know the Father through the Son. Okay? So you and I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to have a deep, personal, and intimate insight in the knowledge of him. Secondly, the eyes of your understanding, which is the eyes of your heart and my heart, being enlightened. How is our hearts being enlightened? How is our understanding being enlightened? It's flooded with light by the Holy Spirit. As we take the Word of God is the light of God. And the Holy Spirit, when we spend time in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit uses our knowledge of God in the Word to flood our inner man, enlightens us. There's no darkness in us, only light. So we become the light because there's so much of light in us. And that illumination of him excites us, keeps us so connected to him. We have this fulfillment inside of us that we just do not want to sin. Thirdly, the Bible tells us in his prayer, he said, you will know and cherish the divine guarantee attached to your calling as a son. There is a divine guarantee given to you and I. And when you know him, you will cherish this guarantee. Next, you will know the riches of his glorious inheritance that he has for his people. His people. His people are you and I. There is a glorious inheritance for you and I. And Paul is saying in his prayer, come on, you must see it. You must get to know. Your eyes must open. The eyes of your inner man must open. Your knowledge must increase. And when what you see and you know becomes visible to you, you have greater insight to it. And one of the things, it's the riches of his glorious inheritance. Next, you will know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active and spiritual power in us who believe. You got to get to know this, beloved, that God has given you and I, the ones that obey him, the ones that fall under his authority, immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his active and spiritual power in Jesus' name. Next, you will know and experience all the above according to the working of the Holy Spirit's mighty strength released by the Father in raising his Son from the dead and seating him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. The position of heavenly places is far above all rule and authority and dominion. No one can get there. It's far above demonic powers, far above the structure of Satan's kingdom. Oh yes, not even Satan and his demonic kingdom can access this far above all realm. And you know what? We are seated with him according to Ephesians 2:6. So we have our feet on the ground, but we are operating from the right hand of the Father. The only way Satan can get you and get myself is through deception. This is the end time spirit. That is why Jesus told us one of the signs of the end time is deception. Satan will use this same trick that he used on Eve, is going to use on us to be deceived by false teachers, false prophets, false pastors, false apostles. Yes, there are all a lot of false proponents, so-called spiritual proponents that are going to be used by Satan in these last days. We will talk more about this later in the series. This is the way he approached Eve, and this is the way he's going to approach you and I. There are so many false leaders operating under deception, beloved. It's frightening. I want you to pray every day that all the leaders will be convicted by the Holy Spirit, that all pastors, heads of different churches and families will come on bended knees and surrender to the authority of Christ. Listen, the church is not a man's possession. The church is the wife of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. So we can't mess up with someone else's possession. Come on. We can't share that with someone else. We have no right to share Christ's wife. The one with whom we are seated with has been appointed as supreme and authority and as an authoritative head over all things in the church, which is his body. For us to be successful and enjoy immunity, we must come under his authority. Anyone who cannot come under his sacred and sovereign authority are practitioners of lawlessness and witchcraft. Let's go to 1 John 4:6. I hope you're enjoying this and finding some key points that will help you pray this into your lives. Pray this over your families. Pray this over your calling and ministry. And we all want to be on the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read. We are from God. In other words, we are divinely appointed. Talking about the servants of God. Here John's talking about the messengers of God, the servants of God. He's talking about those that are teachers, leaders, mentors, those that are leading households. We are from God. These are divinely appointed as compared to self-appointed ones who teach God's word and ones empowered by the Holy Spirit. So that we are from God are divinely appointed leaders and ones who teach God's word and ones empowered by the Holy Spirit and ones who carry delegated authority. Whoever knows God listens to us who carry delegated authority. So if you say you know God, then you must respect delegated authority. You must respect those that God has placed over you to lead you, to mentor you, to coach you, and to bring doctrine to you, and to guide you in your spiritual walk on the earth. Whoever is not from God does not listen to authentic servants of God. By this we know the spirit of truth, motivated by God, and a spirit of error motivated by Satan. I want you to read that passage of scripture. The spirit of truth will always lead believers in GMDS to subscribe to the authority of Christ, divested in Mama Val and myself. Sadly, though, the spirit of error would lead those motivated to Satan not to adhere to our leading, not to adhere to our correcting, and not to adhere to our teaching. That's why some of you, and I know if you're honest with yourself, you don't even listen to our teachings. You just put two blue ticks and say thank you, and that's it. That's where it ends. You don't open this teachings. You're not taking out your Bible. You're not listening over and over. You just you're listening. Some of you are listening more to other preachers than your own spiritual covering or one God has placed over you. And that is disrespectful. That is lawlessness. And I want you to adjust that and correct that today. And we will be discussing biblical examples of those who practice rebellion and insurrection and what was their fate. I most probably will do that next week. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 verse 6. It says here, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now the Holy Spirit is God, and there are no lies in him, no exaggeration in him, no hidden agendas with him. He is an authentic witness of who and what we are. He is truth. Here's a simple definition drawn from what the Bible teaches. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Let me say that again. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind of God, the will of God, the character of God, the glory of God, and the being of God. Even more to the point, truth is a self-expression of God. That is a biblical meaning of truth. Because the definition of truth flows from God, truth is theological. Now, truth is also ontological. What do I mean by that? Which is a fancy way of saying it. It is a way things really are. Reality is what it is because God declared it so and made it so. Therefore, God is the author. He is the source. He is the determiner. He is the governor. He is the arbiter. He is the ultimate standard, and he's the final judge of all truth. I want to stop right there. Let's just recap today. It was a teaching that has opened up our mind, number one. Number two, it is forcing us to take stock of our lives. It's forcing us to look intently and not to pull the shades over our sight and over our minds. Yes, we have to address certain things, beloved. These are the last days. We cannot perambulate and just think there's nothing wrong and just wake up and face another day. And we cannot afford to stay in our sinful state, in our state of complacency, state of just being normal. No, we have to accelerate. We have to see the urgency of the hour, and we have to adjust our obedience to God, our submission to God, understanding the commandments of God, following the precepts of God, following the very instruction of God. This is essential. And not having any form of insurrection inside of us, rebelling inside of us. No. Our external and our internal life will all bow down and worship God. Today, let's come to the end of ourselves. Let's take stock and let's push in to the very presence of God. Father, today, I bring every single one that is bowed in your presence. I thank you today, Lord, that we can call upon the name of Jesus Christ, the name in which we have access to our Father, the name in which we bow down, the name in which we get rid of ourselves and we put on Christ, the name in which we put on the mind of Christ, the name in which we stand before the Almighty God. We thank you today, O God, that you have given us the word. The word of God is your will. The word of God is your instruction book. The word of God is a double-edged sword that will cut us asunder, examine us, introspect us, and of course, adjust us. Today we ask you, Lord, that you'll visit every individual in our household of faith. Allow them never to go back. Allow them never to lose their heat, spiritual heat. Allow them, Lord, to have this an increasing level of passion and interest in the things of God. Help them today, every single one of our family members, to depart from disobedience, depart from uprising, depart from lawlessness, depart and walk away from uprising. We cancel the spirit of Korah, the spirit of Absalom. We cancel the spirit of Saul. We cancel the spirit of Eve. We cancel the spirit of Lucifer. We cancel the spirit of darkness. We cancel the spirit of Ham. And today, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every individual will fall on their knees. They will surrender to you and they will make a fresh start to come under spiritual authority and receive their immunity in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, every individual will follow all the precepts of the word, all the commandments of God, all the preambles that God has laid out. We will follow you wholeheartedly. I thank you today, Lord. May your mercy be with your people. May your glory be with your people, Lord. May you lead them from one level to the next level, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray this in the name of Jesus. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And everybody said, amen and amen. Bless you, beloved.